Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So Madison Square Garden has been the venue for some of the most memorable performances in the world, right? Okay, maybe not any time in recent memory by the Knicks, but John Lennon, Barbara Streisand, Muhammad Ali, even Pope Francis. But 80 years ago this week, Madison Square Garden was the venue for a much darker affair, a Nazi rally, seriously, led by the so-called American Hitler. There were 20,000 New Yorkers in attendance, and the rally began like this.
I pledge undivided allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, they started a Nazi rally in New York, in Madison Square Garden in 1939 with the Pledge of Allegiance. Notice Under God was not in that version. That was added later. But they did that because the Nazi group tasked with proselytizing the Third Reich's views around the world believed that American values were not an impediment to getting Americans to become Nazis, but an asset. Remember, people calling themselves America Firsters in those days were arguing against getting into the war. Well, with me now is Marshall Curry, director of a new documentary short all about this particular Nazi rally that took place in New York. It's called A Night at the Garden, and it's nominated for Best Oscar Short. All this week and last week, as many of you have been hearing, we've been covering all the feature-length documentaries nominated for Academy Awards. So we thought we'd tack on one more, one short, because it's so New York and related in its way to the news of today. So Marshall Curry, welcome back to WNYC and congratulations on your Oscar nomination.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Why did you decide to make this film about this event that happened 80 years ago?
Well, I'd never heard of the event, and it's weird. I consider myself relatively educated about American history, but I was having dinner with a friend of mine who is a screenwriter who was writing a screenplay that takes place in New York in 1939, and he said, did you know that there was this rally? And I didn't believe him until I got home that night and looked it up. And when I saw photos from it, I just couldn't believe it. It uses, like you mentioned at the beginning, these icons of Americana in this sort of surreal and twisted way. The room is full of American flags. There's a huge 30-foot portrait of George Washington in the front of the room with swastikas on either side of him, and they say the Pledge of Allegiance and sing the Star-Spangled Banner, but all in the service of a philosophy that I think most of us would argue is pretty un-American.
And around that time, 1939, the Nazis were building their sixth concentration camp. Meanwhile, this group, the Bund, or German-American Bund, was tasked with spreading the Nazi doctrine all across America. Can you talk a little bit about the Bund, its success, to the degree that they had success, and who they were?
Sure. So they were a group that did things like this rally. They did a famous march down 86th Street in Manhattan. There's some also surreal photos of that. They also had camps for kids. You know, there are photos and videos of children raising swastika flags and learning to goose step. They had communities in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and other places. They were, you know, proponents of American fascism and anti-Semitism. And so they were clearly a minority opinion. When you see this room of 20,000 people, you start to think, gosh, how many people were in support of this? And when you go back and look at the New York Times articles covering the event, this was not the majority opinion of Americans. But what's crazy is that it was a legitimate opinion. And when 20,000 New Yorkers show up for a rally, you know there are many times that share their point of view.
Let's play another clip. and this documentary, we'll say, is just 7 minutes. It is a documentary short, and it's all footage from the rally. I mean, that is the 7 minutes, right?
That's right. There's no narration. There's no voiceover. It's literally just 7 minutes edited together with music and sound design to kind of transport you into this world without explanation.
And the verbal centerpiece is that the national leader of the Bund, a man named Fritz Kuhn, spoke at this garden rally. And we're going to play a few seconds of how he began his speech at Madison Square Garden on February 20th, 1939. It was by slamming the press. And listeners, some of this is going to be offensive, explicit anti-Semitic slurs.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, American patriots, I'm sure I do not come before you tonight as a complete stranger. You all have heard of me through the Jewish-controlled press as a creature with horns, a cloven hoof, and a long tail. We, with American ideals, demand that our government shall be returned to the American people who founded it.
Wow. It's you know, astonishing, not that those kinds of slurs were used in America, but before a rally of thousands of cheering people at Madison Square Garden. And in the film, that clip is made even more astounding by the fact that behind the speaker is a giant portrait of George Washington. On either side, American and Nazi flags together. Can you talk a little bit about the mix of American and Nazi iconography in the film and the open anti-Semitic language?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the footage, what struck me so much about it was the way that demagogues in 1939, and frankly for 1,000 years, have used the same tactics that demagogues use today. The speech begins by an attack on the press. You know, then he launches into scapegoating of minorities. A protester runs out on stage and they sort of applaud violence against protesters, and then use the icons of American patriotism to sell a philosophy that's not American. I mean, I don't need to tell your listeners, but the First Amendment of our Constitution is respect for the press, respect for all different types of religions, and respect for protesters' rights. And you have people using the flag, wrapping the flag around rhetoric that cuts against all of those things.
Listeners, I wonder if any of you out there are old enough to either have known about this rally at the time. Of course, even if you're old enough, you may not have known about the rally. But to have any memories of what Marshall Curry just described as the Nazi point of view being taken seriously for a time in the United States before we got into the war. These audio clips from his documentary of a Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden in 1939 ring a bell of anything in any way that you remember that was in the air at that time? This may be a needle in a haystack, but if anybody out there is having a memory jog by this, we would love to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Marshall, have you found and talked to any New Yorkers who were there that night?
I have. Well, you know, it was 80 years ago. So, but one of my best friends from growing up, his father grew up in the Bronx, and his father, my father's friend, my father's grandfather, was a New York City cop. And when I put the movie out, my friend's dad told me that when he was growing up, his father had told him about the night that he had worked security at Madison Square Garden as a NYPD. And that had been kind of family lore of the crazy night that Nazis took over Madison Square Garden.
There's another brief clip that we're going to play now where Kuhn explains or argues what Nazi values could bring to America.
What we are actively fighting for under our charter. First, a social just white Gentile ruled United States. Second, Gentile-controlled labor union, free from Jewish Moscow-directed domination.
So, again, wow, and we use the term social justice today. He said social just. What are they fighting for? A social just white Gentile-ruled United States. Second, Gentile-controlled labor unions free from Jewish Moscow-directed domination. I'm restating the words because I think the clip was a little hard to understand. But, you know, we see that today with white nationalist groups that feel they're being overtaken by minorities in Charlottesville as well as in this 1939 Nazi rally. There's the sense that white Gentiles are somehow the victimized class in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say one thing that I'm sure listeners are noticing is the German accent. And I think even as big as this group was, their growth was held back by the German trappings, the cultural trappings that probably didn't appeal to many people who were not German. And I think that's part of what's so scary about the extreme right wing today is that they are not using German icons. They're not using that as much. They are very American. They know how to use American humor and the internet and American memes to whip up these same feelings. But there's a classic line that when fascism comes to America, it won't be with a German accent and swastikas. It'll be called Americanism. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
And we remember the description of the people in the Charlottesville rally as Klan members or Nazi members in khakis and golf shirts. Right?
That's right.
Joe, let me take a call because our time is short and somebody may have a memory here. Joe in St. Albans, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good morning, guys. I grew up in Ridgewood, Brooklyn, the border of Williamsburg. In the neighborhood was the Hamburg Savings Bank. There was Schwaben Hall, and I believe for your historian there, if he would look up Schwaben Hall, he will find out that there were probably Nazi meetings there also. But I grew up as an Italian-American. That was frowned upon by my German-American counterparts in the neighborhood. We were seen as the other moving into the area, chasing them out, okay? There was a soda company across the street from where I lived. I'm not going to mention the name, but it was definitely German-American and hired German-Americans.
And Joe, I'm gonna leave it there because we're almost out of time in the segment. Such an important point about, you know, the people we consider white today weren't always considered white, quote unquote, by other white people. Southern Europeans like Italians, by German Europeans or European Americans by then. Marshall, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about how your film made news last week when Fox News refused to air an ad for the film on a commercial break during Sean Hannity's show. First, why did you want to air it at that time, and what do you think of the rejection?
Well, right. We wanted to run an ad that was just footage, historical footage from the rally on Hannity's show. And we really just wanted to get this story out to Hannity viewers. I feel like Hannity is a big part of the support for this kind of demagoguery. And we hoped that by showing his viewers what happened in 1939 when people scapegoated minorities and attacked the press and laughed at violence against protesters, that maybe they'd be a little more vigilant about it today. And amazingly, the CEO of Fox News stepped in and personally rejected our ad. She said at the time that it was because of its disgusting Nazi imagery, but within 24 hours, reporters had turned up examples of Fox News having no problem running other Nazi imagery, particularly Dinesh D'Souza's, film, and other examples. So the reason that they gave was pretty absurd on its face.
And of course, Sean Hannity would vigorously deny and characterize as a smear, I'm sure, and any association with him and the points of view that he promotes on his show. So were you trying to make a political point of sort of associating with Fox News, associating those views with Fox News by running an ad on it?
Well, it's not that I think Sean Hannity or Donald Trump are Nazis. It's that I think that they use the tactics that demagogues have used for 1,000 years. And Donald Trump ran for president on the platform of excluding a particular religious group from being allowed into our country. And so I don't think we should pretend that there's no connection.
I'm going to jump in because we just have a minute in the show, but Mary in Manhattan may have memorabilia from this event. Mary, wow. Hi.
Yes, hi, Brian.
What do you have, real quick?
I have a flyer from that event. I can't find it right now at hand. My husband was 12 years old, and his father took him to the event. Both are not alive now. They are Jewish. They misunderstood what the event was. And that was the talk for 50 years with my husband about having gone to that event, and I actually have the flyer.
Wow. In 10 seconds, what did he say about it?
Oh, my gosh, the talk in their family about this father taking my 12-year-old husband and not understanding what it was.
Mary, thank you so much, and I wish we had more time. But the show is over, and it's Allison's turn, and we have to give way. And we leave it there with Marshall Curry. His documentary short is called A Night at the Garden at anightatthegarden.com. We'll see if he wins the Oscar for it on Sunday night. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.